The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... G. Marshall. What do a ladder leaning against a building, a black cat, spilt salt, or knocking on wood have in common? That's right. They're all superstitions. But since superstitions are only the children of ignorance, in this world of expanding knowledge, nobody really believes in them anymore. Or do they? And if anyone does, surely the calm, clear logic of 20th century science could illuminate, banish, and defeat the dark clouds of superstition. Or could it? Listen and decide for yourself.
2 hours overdue, and he isn't hollering mayday over our emergency radio digger? It doesn't look good.
That front that went barreling through under us? Well, he could have gotten caught in that.
Yeah.
And ditched. Was a rum go for a while.
Yeah. Better hang on the pipe just the same. Although how it looks right now, that poor guy might have bought it.
Our mystery drama, Taboo Means Death, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Russell Horton. It is sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores. I'll be back shortly with Act One. Is out of today's headlines. Some of it you may remember. It shouldn't be too difficult to tempt you to listen to it, since in order to do so, you must travel with me the South Pacific to the island paradise of Western Samoa, Upolu. The capital of Western Samoa is Apia, a sleepy little port town whose main claim to fame is a hotel named Aggie Gray's. It is one of those special spots for travelers which dot the world. Their claim to fame? Haunt them, and sooner or later you will meet anyone or everyone you knew.
Mac! Oh, Mac Calder!
Huh? Who? Tigger! Tigger Brown! Hey, right. Man, what brings you to Samoa?
This is my territory, Yank. What brings you here?
This and that.
Business?
Not exactly.
Oh, I read you loud and clear. I won't cry. How do you like the Fia Fia?
The what?
The entertainment you're watching.
It's great. Super. I was just trying to figure out what kind of short long johns the guys wear under their skirts.
Skirts? Oh, I see I've got to educate you, Yank. First of all, the skirts are called lava-lava.
Uh-huh.
Everyone wears them, men and women. Now, the long johns are something else again. Only the sons of the chief wear them.
Mm. They look like Spider-Man. What is it? Some sort of woven material?
Well, it's a garment none of them ever can take off. A tattoo needled right onto the skin.
Well, from above the waist to below the knee?
That's right.
Oh, man, I bet that hurts.
No, too right.
Well, why? Do they really believe that stuff in this day and age?
You better believe it if you want to hang around the islands.
Yeah, I don't. I want to get out of here as fast as I can. That's why I'm here.
Oh, that's a bit contradictory. You want to shed some light?
Only to someone I can trust.
Think I've changed that much in such a short time?
Nah. Only I don't see how you can help.
Well, want to give it a whirl?
At least you're someone I can talk to.
Fire away.
Not here. Is there somewhere else?
Sure. I have a room in the quiet sector of Aggies over the garden, where all you can hear are the birds sing and the mangoes drop. After I graduated from UCLA, I came on home and had this chance to go into training and get checked out on multi-engines. So, here I am, a lowly lieutenant co-pilot flying for NZ Airlines. How about you?
My dad died suddenly. I sort of took over the business.
Oh, no more flying?
Oh, sure. Dad and me have had a private plane. And then there's the company jet I get a shot at handling now and again. When I can find time.
Oh, big wheel in the business world, eh?
Somebody had to take over, Digger.
I'm sorry about your father, Mac. Well, so, what brings you down here to Samoa?
A girl.
Ooh, she must be some Sheila to bring you 8,000 miles.
Now she is. Well, you know her, Digger.
I do?
Yeah. You remember Noah Lani?
Noah Lani Matama? Ooh, she'd be hard to forget, especially here on Apollo. Hey, is that what brought you to our side of the globe? The big fear?
Oh, I don't know what you mean.
Noah Lani's wedding. She's going to be married next week.
Mary. So that's why she stopped. Digger, you've got to help me.
I never knew, Mac, that Nonnie and you... Well, I mean, you dated around and all that, but I never reckoned it anything serious.
Why not, Digger?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, sure, we all went to the university together, but Nonnie... Well, I mean, Noah Lani was special.
Because she was Samoan?
Because she was a princess. Royalty. Well, maybe in your frame of reference, that doesn't mean so much.
It doesn't mean a damn. She's the girl I love, and I want to marry.
It looks a bit late for that, Mac.
Why? She can't marry anyone but me, Digger. Her letters were full of plans for our marriage until they stopped coming.
Well, maybe the lady changed her mind.
Oh, no, I'll never believe that. Somebody, her parents, must have stopped her from writing, or else they kept my letters from her. Digger, that wedding has got to be stopped. You've got to help me.
Mac, old bloke, this isn't America. You mess around with island people with an ancient way of life and customs neither me nor you could understand, and you're asking to get your head handed to you in a basket.
I'll take my chances.
No, count me out. I don't want anyone laying any curse on me or worse.
Oh, come off it, Digger. I've never seen you run scared.
Well, you're seeing it now.
Well,
anyway, I won't be around. I've got to pull out of here tomorrow for Fiji with my crew to pick up a flight down from Mandy to Auckland. You know, I am a working stiff, you know.
Okay. Do one thing for me, Digger, huh?
What?
Well, you know the ropes here. I can't even locate Nani. No one will tell me where she is. Will you find her for me?
Well... Yes, at least I can do that, chum. Maybe I can even arrange for you to have a talk somewhere.
Noah Lani.
Mac? What are you doing here?
Waiting for you? Darling, I...
No.
Are you kidding? How can you...
I am begging you. Try to understand.
Understand what?
About us.
I thought I did. I thought we knew just where we were going.
So did I. But it has been a long time.
You know why? I wrote you. My father died and there were things I had to do.
And my father died. And I found out there were things I had to do.
What does that mean?
I could never explain. It is why I didn't write.
Well, now I'm here in the flesh, can't you tell me?
It is very hard.
I could guess it might be. You're going to be married, as I get it. So there's another guy.
Yes.
You know, you might have told me. Saved me a trip halfway around the world.
Oh, please. It isn't like that.
Isn't like what?
I shouldn't have said anything. Forgive me.
I am not in a forgiving frame of mind, and you'd better say something.
Oh, please. It won't help anything or change anything.
Maybe not, but don't you think I'm due some kind of explanation?
Otherwise, I would never have let Digger set up this meeting.
So?
Walk with me along the beach, Mac. No, don't hold my hand. Don't touch me.
What is this? We're under surveillance?
Well, who is it? The FBI? CIA?
I believe that we are not alone. That we are watched. That they can see but not hear. So, let me talk.
Be my guest.
California was one thing. A never, never land. I was just money. And life was very wonderful. Very simple.
It was our life. And we promised each other it would be forever.
I know. What I dreamed of. But you see, I had forgotten I had another life.
What?
I am a princess.
Isn't that a little out of date?
When I came home to Samoa, I found out it wasn't.
Nani, you're a graduate of UCLA in liberal arts. You can't suddenly come back to a scattering of tin pot little islands and bury yourself in the Middle Ages.
Oh, I wish I could be as sure of that as you are.
What do you mean?
Wash out a thousand things. Old ties, family history, my personal beauty, which I could never explain. Cut it all down to taboo.
Taboo?
What you would call taboo.
Are you trying to tell me I'm taboo for you?
Yes.
Is that the way you feel?
It isn't my decision, Mac. Can't you understand? It is a whole way of life.
Look, this is the 20th century.
It doesn't matter. I can't marry you.
Why not?
It is not my decision.
Well, whose decision is it?
Because I am a princess. The village council.
Well, now, who in heck are they to interfere?
To keep the bloodlines clear. It is their right.
What bloodlines?
I am Samoan.
Nani, I am getting you out of all this. Let's go, right now.
I can't.
Of course you can.
You don't understand. The marriage has been arranged. I am a princess in a family of royalty. I can't let them die.
Sure you can. Just let me show you.
You can't make it that simple.
Oh, can't I?
No. Because you don't know what is involved.
You've already told me.
But I can't explain all the centuries of custom and everything behind it. A whole other world.
So? You step out of it.
I can't.
Why?
It is why I agreed to see you today. Because I am under a curse.
What?
If I should marry you or go with you, we would go only to death.
Who says?
Annihilator has spoken. He has pointed the bone. If we try to be together, we cannot fight the gods. We are condemned.
Oh, honey, you believe that nonsense?
It is hard for me, back now in this strange world, to know what I believe in.
Can't you just believe in me?
Is all I ever want to. But
what is it?
I don't want to bring you disaster. And without my mother's agreement to us, I would be so afraid.
So, let's talk to your mother.
Talofa.
Talofa.
Welcome to my home.
Thank you. I don't know how to call you.
I am the mother of Noelani.
That doesn't help me know the form of address.
Does it matter? We have little to say to each other.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I want to marry Noelani.
She has been promised to another.
Doesn't she have any choice?
No.
I'd challenge that.
If you want. It is a gamble.
What do you mean?
How strong is the desire? How does it meet the wheeling of the stars? Is it accepted by fate? And are you brave enough to face death?
Oh, I'm sorry, but you speak in riddles.
Noelani is the last of her line. Tueto, to whom she has been promised, is also purebred. They are chosen by the stars, selected by Tane, their great god. If the promise were to be broken, Tane would send Taeroa, god of the winds, and Pera, the goddess of fire, to haunt you. Are you ready to challenge all our gods?
For Noelani? Yes.
For Noelani? Oh, For yourself?
No, for her. We love each other, Your Majesty. Nani's happiness lies with me.
You are not of our blood.
Majesty, princess, mother, whatever I should call you, what are all these ancient prejudices? It's a new world. And blood crosses blood and makes the ties that bind everyone together stronger. We're one world today.
I cannot cross my guards. I cannot protect you. Most of all, I cannot protect my daughter. The Tylatus has pointed the bone. If you and Noelani should try to find life together, you are doomed. The gods have spoken.
Your gods, maybe. Not mine. It looks as though we'll just have to find out which is stronger.
The battle lines are drawn in an age-old conflict. The ways of yesterday against today's. It can happen in any society. And we have our ethnic divisions in every major city and half the towns across the continent. But there is one element here that makes it all a little different. A curse, an ancient civilization, and the threat of strange gods beyond our Western comprehension. I shall return shortly with Act Two. It was Alfred Lord Tennyson who wrote, "'Tis better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. But to be in love and have the reason for losing so antiquated and unreasonable as Mac Calder faces is a very special agony, a determination that under no circumstances will he lose. First, convince Noelani of that, and then find the way."
We've got to talk, Noelani.
Not here. Now watch. What did my mother say?
Well, she's not against us exactly, but look, where can we talk?
When?
The sooner the better. Tonight?
Not at night. That is impossible. This afternoon, I must go to market in Apia. Can you find me there?
I don't know. What about the big clock steeple?
I could meet you there before sundown. But why, darling?
Because by then, I'll have a plan for us.
A plan?
Yeah, to get away. Shake off the past. Find our own future. Isn't that what you want?
I want it. But how can it work for us?
Now, I could have a cab waiting, and we could duck out and head for the airport, catch the next plane out wherever it was headed.
You think my family, my brothers, would allow me to do that? Or anyone else?
You have your passport. It's still valid, isn't it?
True, anywhere, yes.
Well, then?
First of all, I have to get away from Samoa, if I want to. That is not so easy.
Oh, because you don't want to.
I don't know what I want. Oh, to be with you, yes. But not to destroy you.
Honey, let me worry about that.
It isn't that simple.
I'll make it that way. But can you meet me just before sunrise at Palaga Airport? You know, right by the golf course, east of Apia.
I know. But why?
Well, I'll charter a private plane. There'll be no one to stop us there. We'll fly to New Zealand to be married. And take it the way it comes from then on.
You would risk that for me.
I'm not worried about your brothers or the family. They'll come around once it's happened.
It isn't just the family.
You mean all that mumbo-jumbo about the gods? Oh, darling, forget them. Their day has been and gone. They can't touch us.
How I want to believe that.
You better believe. And promise to meet me at Palaga.
May all the gods help us. But yes, I promise.
Nani? Nani, darling?
Oh, Matt, I'm here.
Oh, I'd just about given up. I thought you weren't coming.
I just about did give up. The weather, it's not a good omen.
Ah, it's nothing, just some rain and a light cloud cover. We'll be out of it 5,000 feet, and it's a cinch the rest of the way in.
You have a plane?
Yeah, a Cessna 172, high wing. There she is, all set and all ready to go.
That little thing, it can make it all the way to... Where are we going? calling?
Auckland, New Zealand. We'll be married there right after we land. And then we'll grab a 747 or DC-10 for the little old USA.
I still don't see how a little plane like that...
I have extra wing tanks just in case, but it'll be no sweat. Trust me?
If I didn't, would I be here?
I promise you, Nani, you're never going to regret this. As God is my witness.
I want to feel the same way. I just hope my God will smile on us, too.
Hey, don't pay attention to the sound effects. We're going to leave all that behind.
And head right into the eye of the storm.
Nani, forget it. We're walking out tall. You can count on it. You all right, Nani?
I think so. I'm a little
weary. We're just hitting a few air pockets. When we get enough altitude, it'll be smooth sailing.
Soon?
Honey, we're 7,000 now. We should break this at 8.
Will it be much longer?
Yeah, it takes time to climb. There's nothing else wrong, is there?
Don't worry about me, Mac. I started out a little sick at heart. But what upsets me now is my stomach.
Well, you're not sorry you came.
I would have to be a whole lot sicker than this before that would even occur to me.
The storm?
No. Of what we've done.
The best decision we ever made in our lives. Only the brave deserve the fair.
Who said that?
I don't know. Me, maybe. What's the difference? Isn't it the truth? Ah, Nani, we got away with
it. No, don't say that. Don't wish us bad luck.
Luck? What does that signify? We're out front now, and no one from your slow old world can catch us now. Hey, we've got it made.
Hello, Stuart. Got all your passengers sorted out?
We're flying light, if we fly.
Do we? Now, what does that mean?
The weather.
Oh, no sweat. We'll get above it most of the way into Auckland.
Still, better keep your passengers belted in. You know, it could be a bit choppy.
Well, you better get on up to the flight deck. Your pilot's with
you. That you, Digger?
Lieutenant Brown, model co-pilot, reporting to the flight deck, Captain Jameson.
Yes, I can do without the commandant. Everything ship-shaped back there?
Sure.
We're flying pretty light. You know, you could shoot possums back there without ever getting near the passenger. If we're flying.
What's that mean?
Well, did you get clear from the tower yet?
Not yet, but we will.
Weather looks a bit rough.
Yeah, we'll be out of this by 10,000 and have it clear all the way into Auckland.
Well, we still might get a lot of chop on an electrical winger like this.
Yeah, we'll leave the seatbelt sign on. And that is McLeod.
Good old DC-10s. They can fly through anything.
Too right. But I pity any light craft that's had to climb over this. It'd take a real beating on the way up. Here we go.
What's your ETA?
Corrected for New Zealand time, unless we run into a wind change, we should hit up in about 16:30 hours.
About 1,600 hours.
What is that in ordinary time?
Oh, 4 in the afternoon.
It seems so long.
What's the matter, Nani? Don't you feel better?
Oh, yes. It's nice and smooth now. It seems sort of endless. Just clouds and swirls of air. As if we weren't moving at all. You know what I mean?
Well, sort of, perhaps.
It's also mysterious, changing. Where are you going?
I got the trusty old ADF.
ADF?
Automatic Direction Finder.
Oh.
And without that, we could really be in the soup.
Well, which is it, Mac?
Which that dial there. See?
Oh, yes.
Tells our heading exactly. As soon as we get close enough to New Zealand, we can lock on by radio and ride the needle straight in like getting tucked into bed.
Simple as that.
Simple as that. Unless anything went wrong.
And then?
Oh, we don't think of that. Why should it go wrong?
I I can think of so many reasons.
Hey, forget it. We're out of your old world of vengeful gods, princes, and all that. This is the 20th century. They don't exist. All we need is a simple little old computer, and we're home free.
What's that?
Oh, it's a little early, but I'm just trying to pick up Auckland Radio Center, get a fix of just where we are. That's funny. It should be within their range by now.
There's something wrong, isn't there?
What could be wrong?
We're lost, Matt. Tell me the truth. Are we?
Of course not. I must have the wrong frequency. Hold it, Matt. It's like a neutron.
Two more years of this, Digger. And I'm up for petrol. Hmm?
Where are you? On autopilot, too?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking about that chum of mine in Samoa.
Oh, the one with the royal princess?
The one without her. He's better off. He was flirting with trouble.
Now, what were you saying?
No, nothing much. I was just thinking two more years, I can duck out of the old NZ Airlines and take it easy.
Not you, Barry. You dry up on the beach.
Oh, I don't know. I've got my sailboat. Between my pension and a part-time job, I could get down below there and sail this bloody ocean instead of overflying it. Lot more fun.
Lot more fun than flying?
These big crates. Flying boxcars all done by computer. Cut and dried, hiking a DC-10. Not much thrill to it.
This is Auckland Radio Center to TE-770Y. Do you read me?
TE-770Y, I read you.
What is your position?
What ocean ship we just passed, Digger?
Number 3, the Phantom.
50 miles south of ocean ship 3. It goes.
Easy as you come, right on the front. But we have a spot of trouble.
Name it.
We have a lost aircraft, light plane, Cessna 172, 2 hours over 2. He might be having trouble with his ATM.
Why? Did he report it?
No, but unless he's down someplace, why wouldn't he check in?
There you've got me. What can I do to help?
Would you like to try him on emergency and see if you can raise him?
Will do. I'd try and have something nice. Some silly joker in a paper dart got himself lost. Now we have to try to raise him.
Put up your feet, old charmer. Get your rest. I'll handle it. Now, what's the emergency frequency?
2505.
This is TE-770Y calling in Cessna 172. Do you read me? This is TE-770Y calling in Cessna 172. Do you read?
Looks like the cupboard is bare, Mother Hubbard.
If he's in our area, any chance of a visual?
No joy from me. You see anything?
No, negative. We're at 33,000. He must be under 10. Who could see him?
2 hours overdue, and he isn't hollering mayday on the emergency radio. Doesn't look good.
That front that went barreling through below us, he could have gotten caught up in that.
And ditched.
It was a rum go for a while.
I'd better stay on the path for a while. Take a chance we can raise him, but 2 hours overdue, all in all. I'd say the poor guy might have bought it.
A small plane with limited fuel adrift on the vast expanse of the South Pacific. That ocean with a deceptive name, where storms and tornadoes and cyclones and wild disturbances sweep the blue waters and mount in weather towers to shock the air above, is an ancient curse to wreak its revenge on two young people. I shall return shortly with Act 3. Ocean, the largest body of water in our world. Some 63,801,500 square miles.
The proverbial needle in the haystack would loom as large as the Empire State Building compared to a small plane lost in its vastness.
And even Mac is having to admit at last that's what he is, lost.
We might as well face it, Mac. We're lost.
No.
Darling, we have been. Ever since I decided to challenge the Tapui.
Nani, let's cut out that nonsense.
It isn't nonsense. I'm just so sorry I did this to you.
Look, there's no real sweat yet. I still have a couple of hours gas in the tank, and sooner or later I'll raise some on the radio and get a fix.
Mac, level with me?
Sure, how?
If the direction finder, or whatever it is out of whack, we don't know where we are. We're hours overdue. We could be heading for the South Pole, for all we know.
We can't be that far off. I mean, I would have...
You mean you don't want me to know the real truth? Darling, I do. It's all right.
What does that mean?
I never wanted anyone in my life but you. I'm glad I defied those old gods and came with you.
Hey, Nani, don't cash us in yet.
Allison, they made me feel the gods had set their faces against us. I know it isn't right, but it's how they made me feel.
It's a kind of brainwashing.
I wasn't strong enough to stand against it alone.
It's over. You can forget it.
I thought I had. Until what has happened has proved them right.
No, Alani. Darling. Now listen to me. Do you believe in those gods more than you do in me?
Oh, Mac. What can I say?
Would you be here with me now? If you did?
No, I suppose. I guess not.
Then you believe in my God and us. Promise me?
What can he do to save us?
I don't know. Only that he will, that he'll shatter the old taboo and splinter all those old bigotries and superstitions and bring us home safe. Just believe, darling. That's all I ask.
All right, Mac. I believe. I really do. What's that?
The radio. Maybe we've made a contact.
This is G7701 calling in Cessna 172 to you,
Ray. Cessna 172, acknowledge. Who are you?
New Zealand, the flight from Auckland, DC-10. Are you lost?
Yes, I think there's something wrong with the ADF. Negative.
How much fuel do you have left?
Maybe 2 hours. Where are you?
I could give you coordinates, but I don't think it matters. Do you have us in view?
Negative. Hey, you sound kind of familiar. Who are you?
This is Peter Blair, top pilot, DC-10-TE-770Y.
Jigger! This is Mac. Mac Calder.
Mac! What's that, you?
Well, you remember the friend of yours who had a Cessna? I borrowed it to sneak Noelani out of the islands.
Did you got yourself lost, huh?
Yeah, Nani blames it on Tarofa and all his other old gods. I kept telling you we had a few guys on our side, too. Now you came through.
Okay, for our side. Now, next thing. How do we put you home?
Never sell a New Zealander short. I know you'll figure out some way, copper.
Auckland Radio Center.
Captain Terry Davis, DE-770Y. We found you looking, love.
The Cessna 172.
Right.
Where?
Ah, that's the question.
Well, do you have him in view?
Now, John, we're going to try to box him in. Will you stand by to help us and open all channels?
You have us all the way, but we have no other contact with him but you. How is he for fuel?
Thumbs up so far, but it could get sticky.
We'll stand by you all the way. Over and out.
You were talking to someone you knew.
Sure. Digger Brown.
How could he reach us?
Do you really want to know why, Noelani?
Yes.
Because there is a good God in heaven. And because these ancient bloody gods and curses are nonsense, and there is a way out of this mess. There it shot, I bow to youth. How are we going to locate this fly speck?
Well, we can guess by his fuel consumption he can't be too far south of us.
But we don't know what heading he's been flying on.
So we've got to find out if he's right or left of us.
How can we mark his longitude?
By the sun. Permission to take over, Captain?
Be my guest. My problem was I didn't retire soon enough.
Can you see the sun, Mac?
Loud and clear.
Okay, now, put your arm in front of you and measure how many fingers the sun is from the horizon.
Roger, can do.
Great. Now, I'm doing the same here. What do you read?
Two and a half, three fingers.
Oh, beautiful. I make it three. We can't be that far apart. What altitude are you at?
9,500.
We're at 33. Can you make us?
No, nothing.
We'll try to blow a contrail. Keep looking. We're coming down to your level. Be right back to you.
Mac.
Digger's bringing his big baby on down. They're going to throw a contrail we can see.
What's a contrail?
Oh, it's a kind of vapor a plane makes going through the atmosphere. Sometimes it crystallizes and makes a smoke trail.
Not ours?
No.
And if I can't see what?
Yeah, maybe we can see the plane itself.
Can you see us?
A little plane like this one is a grain of sand on a beach.
If the light hit us right, maybe, but 95 chances out of 100, forget it.
And how can they find us?
Trust in God and the good people. Most of the time, we managed to squeak through.
What's our altitude?
12,000 and dropping.
There's the sun.
Yeah. It's going to be dark pretty soon.
You'd better contact your boy again and tell him how tight it is.
Will do. Mac, this is Digger again. We know you're in our area, but can't sight you. How's your fuel?
Getting mighty low.
I suppose you can't see us.
No way. There's just me, Nani, this plane, and 80 million miles of empty sea and sky.
It is getting dark, chum.
You're telling me?
We have got to make contact. Now, listen. We're going to dump some fuel. You and Nani keep your eyes peeled for the trail. Now, we've already come on down to about your altitude, 10,000. Watch for the fuel dump. If you don't see it in the air, you'll see it on the ocean. Roger?
Roger.
Over and out for now.
He didn't sight the fuel dump?
No.
It's too late to try again. The sun's gone.
Barry?
What, Dick?
We can't leave him to ditch. Another hour or so on whatever heading he's on and he'll run out of fuel and end up in the drink.
Yes, I know.
There's just one more chance.
What?
Yeah. Let me talk to him again. Digger here. Do you read me?
I read you.
Now, I can't dump any more fuel. It's too dark for you to pick up our trail. Now, there's just one more chance.
Hey, I'll grab whatever you've got.
It's just a hunch. But I have a feeling we're not that far apart. Now, I'm coming down out of the cloud cover. You go down, too. It's almost dark now. As soon as it is, I'm turning up every damn light on this plane till we're glowing like a Christmas tree. Kevin. Landing lights, strobes, emergency, everything. So you better be like any one of the three wise men and follow yonder star. Merry Christmas, bloke.
I don't see anything. It's so dark. Do you, Mac?
No.
Oh, don't we have any lights?
I don't want to turn them on.
No.
I want all the visibility I can get.
Mac?
What?
I'm sorry. I should never have let you get into this. I should have listened to the taboo.
Oh, forget it, Nani. If you're concerned with fate, just figure, this is where you and I were meant to be. Sink or swim. I love you.
I love of you.
In sickness or health?
Till death do us.
Join.
What?
Join. Nothing will ever, ever part us.
You really believe that?
Yeah, with all my heart.
Oh, what the gross! Gently,
hold!
Look, Merry Christmas! Oh. I can see a more beautiful tree!
Oh, Matt!
Tally-ho! Tally-ho, Digger and Barry, you gorgeous beauties! I have you in view!
Then don't lose us!
Don't worry!
We're probably now baby down as far as we can to meet your cruising fleet, but don't you lose us! Just
clear
my tail, and I'll ride you home in safe.
Do we have enough gas to make it, Matt?
With our luck, we just plain gotta have. Honey, God's been on our side all the way.
I said in the beginning that most of this was a true story. The small plane landed with bone-dry tanks. 5 minutes more, and the engine would have failed. Of course, the pilot was alone. And the rest of the story was imaginary. But wasn't it much more fun to imagine that this was the way it really happened? I'll be back shortly. Our story was an interesting experiment in the telling of tales. So often from the headlines, I read a fascinating story that should make an evening on Mystery Theater, except that life or truth, though it can be stranger than fiction, doesn't quite fill out an evening with incident enough to keep you listening. So if we borrow a little fiction sometimes to pique your interest, do you mind? Our cast included Russell Horton, E.V. Juster, and Earl Hammond. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I'm sure General Pepperell was very proud of you.
And good night to you, Cousin Elbridge, President of Frosch University.
And sleep well, Cousin Josiah. And you... Is that whistling again? It's the lamplight throwing strange shadows up. Do you see what I see?
Tell me what you see. Flash we saw this afternoon. But with one horrible difference, his body is there.
But poor Cousin Cuthbert has no head.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant